This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email the show love, hate, death threats, whatever. Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I have good news. I'll get to it in a second about Americans moving. There's good news there. Do you know I wasn't allowed at my senior prom? Did I ever tell you that? I wasn't allowed at my senior prom because one of the teachers during that year decided to call the house and inform my parents that I had missed two-thirds of her class that year. Two-thirds. Oh, Chris, it wasn't even that important. It was math or something. It was one of those subjects that doesn't matter. Anyway, two-thirds of the time I was gone. I got in so much trouble for that. Man, I've just been in so much trouble so many times, and I look back on it, and pretty much all of it is self-inflicted. Virtually every single time I've gotten myself into trouble, it's been self-inflicted. Am I Hunter Biden? No. I mean, I've never written off $600,000 in prostitutes on my taxes, but it was bad. It was still really bad. And yeah. Anyway, what about you? That's enough about me. Ken, Pennsylvania, go.
Hey, Jesse, when my granddad lived next door to us, and he had a coin collection that he'd been collecting like all his life. You know, those books where you put all quarters and, you know, P.S., Philadelphia, Minute, 1927, that kind of stuff. Anyway, he'd been collecting them all his life. Well, when I was about 11, I snagged them to get my girlfriend some candy. And the whole way to the store, there was like a trail of Buffalo Head nickels and, you know, quarters and halves. And needless to say, I wasn't the most popular kid there for quite some time.
Did he tan your hide, Ken?
I'm sorry?
Did he tan your hide for that?
Well, my dad came in, and I had like four blankets on me, and he pretended to belt me to satisfy my mother, but other than that, I think he was proud of me for taking care of my girlfriend.
Man does what he has to do. 877-377-4373. The worst you ever got in trouble as a child. All right. People get mad. People who live in states like Idaho, South Carolina, Florida, wherever, red states, people who live in red states get angry about people moving to their state from blue states. And this is an understandable complaint. One, as more people move to your state gets crazy expensive. Ask anyone who lives in Florida right now. Because Florida was the freest state in the country, probably is the freest state in the country, but it definitely was during COVID. Everybody packed up and moved to Florida, which is great, right? Good. Everything's great. Now Florida's a red state, going to stay red. All right, that's really good. Yeah, except you can't afford a studio apartment now in Florida because the costs go up and everyone goes. Okay, so there are negatives to it. But one of the biggest complaints about that is, no, I don't want to bring them here. They bring their politics with them. No. As I've explained before, yes, some do. But I have the numbers. I have numbers from companies I trust, think tank companies I trust, who are always concerned about that. Most of the ones I have are from Texas, but and the numbers say that when people flee a blue state for a red state, it is mostly Republicans and mostly hardcore Republicans, not low TGOP types. Would you like an example? Let's talk about Idaho. Here are the numbers out of Idaho. Tons of people have fled Washington, which sucks because Washington's such a cool state. Not Washington, D.C., screw that place. But Washington's such a cool state. It's just run by total commies out of Seattle, and so it sucks now. They're moving to Idaho, right next door, right? 62% of the people who have moved are Republican compared to 12% Democrat. Idaho is getting redder as these people come in. Ah, Yeah, that's Idaho. What about Oregon, Jesse? One, gosh, I love Oregon. It's so pretty. If you've ever flown in to Portland, I mean, before you actually get off the plane and in front all the homeless people and Antifa guys in Portland, but flying in, you fly in over the Columbia River. Gosh, I just love Oregon so much. Anyway, people moving from Oregon, 65% Republican, 14% Democrat. What about California? Of course, all those dirty commies in California are ruining Idaho. 75% Republican, 10% Democrat. I have said it once. I'll say it again. I'll say it many times. If you're an anti-communist and you're in one of these dirtball commie states, not only do I want you to move for my own selfish purposes, I want you to move to my state. I currently live in Texas. I don't know if I'll be here forever, but I'm definitely going to be here for a while. Everyone else can reject you. That's fine. Come on down to Texas. We need all the reinforcements we can get. Our GOP here in Texas might be the most low-T in the country. We need red reinforcements. We need red activists. We need people who are going to come flip things around over here. Come on down. You are more than welcome here. All right. David, Oregon, worst you ever got in trouble as a kid. Go.
First, let me say I thank you for a voice of sanity in an insane world. I was in the third grade. We'd moved out to the country. We lived next to a horse pasture. Well, back then, every red-blooded little boy wanted a fort. They had an old tack shed that was big enough. There were saddle racks, racks for all the reins and bridles and bits. And so we started hammering nails to make it our own. There were bees in the wall. So we decided, I know smoke was good for bees, so I stuffed some newspaper in the wall. Man, mind you, this is summertime. We were going to smoke the bees out. Burnt the thing to the ground. The fire department didn't have hoses enough to reach it. All they could do was contain the hay in the field. And I was already familiar with my dad's belt, but we were really good friends that day.
I'm sorry, buddy. 877-377-4373. My buddy Bobby once, when I was a kid, he had a place, and he was the rebel kid, and he had a go-kart. I never had anything that cool, but he had a go-kart. And whenever I go to Bobby's house, we'd always take his go-kart and we'd go get in trouble and hurt ourselves with it out there in the woods, as boys are wont to do, right? Well, he lived close to this farmer who had a bull. Not a cow. He had a bull. A big, mean one. And this bull, anybody who entered the fence, he would chase. And you didn't want to get caught by the bull. So, of course, we're 8 years old at the time. Now, that's just catnip for 7, 8-year-old boys. So you know what it turns into, right? Hey, let's crawl under the fence, see who's bravest, see who can get the furthest in there before they turn around and go back. You understand how boys do it. Mothers, I can see the mothers right now glaring at their sons. Mothers, I'm sorry. It's how we are. I'm sorry. Anyway, well, the fence was electrified, and I was feeling real brave that day, and like I said, the fence is electrified, so you couldn't climb over it. You had a low crawl under it, and I mean low crawl, really, really low crawl. I got too far into the field, and the bull was coming after me, and he was gaining on me, and I wasn't 1,000% sure. I knew I could get to the fence before the bull got me. I wasn't sure I could get all the way through the fence before the bull got me. So I get to the fence, boom, I hammer on my stomach, and I'm low crawling through, and hey, just like in Marine Corps boot camp with the barbed wire above you, my butt got a little bit too high, and it zapped me, and it not only zapped me, my little 7-year-old body, it flattened me to the ground. That was not very fun, and man, telling mom about that was not very fun either. Dad thought it was hilarious. Mom didn't think it was quite as funny as Dad did. Anyway, we'll get back to yours in a little bit. Before we do that, you know what you need if you're going to outrun the bulls? Testosterone. Now, hear me out. You can't go out and chase bulls or be chased by bulls if you're low T. Fellas, America is low T. Now, they are. That's not just a nickname for the GOP. We drink estrogen. All the birth control women take, they don't. It doesn't get filtered out when they process the wastewater. You drink it. You're drinking it. It's in the plastics. It's in the water. That's why testosterone levels are half of what they were 50 years ago. If you don't find a way to fight back against that, we're just going to become worthless, low-T blobs of nothing. That's what a male vitality stack from Chalk will do for you. Naturally, natural herbal supplements, 20% increase in your testosterone in just 90 days. That's 3 months. You have any idea how good you'll feel in 3 months from right now? Take advantage of the Christmas sale and go get yourself on a stack, all right? CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. It's time to stack it up. We'll be back.
I've got an animal inside of me.
This is Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show. All right, we're going to get back to some of these calls here in a minute. I have to get back to this, though, really quickly. My gosh, Kevin McCarthy, the guy on his way out. I want to give him credit. I want to make sure I give him all the credit in the world. He's doing a wonderful job showing you why the GOP stands for nothing and delivers us zero victories ever.
Democrats, and they stand up. They look like America. We stand up. We look like the most restrictive country club in America. And I decide then either I am going to be the leader of a declining end of a party, or I have to change the opportunity in this party. So I embrace in something else, okay? Since that time, we've elected the most women, Republicans, the most minority Republicans ever to the House. But to do so...
Republicans love to talk about diversity, too. Remember, diversity is the death of everything. As soon as you prioritize that which is not important, and you decide it's the most important criteria, you will slowly but surely kill whatever you're doing. Whatever you're doing, it doesn't matter. If I open up a cheeseburger shop tomorrow, and instead of the most qualified, best employees, you know what? I want to have a man, a woman, a tranny, a black guy, an Indian guy, and an Asian woman. And that you have to be that to get hired here. And you open up a burger shop across the street selling the same world famous Jesse Kelly burgers, of course. And you just hire the best employees. You will have so many better ones than we do. But the truth is the right, they live, eat, sleep, and breathe under the world the communist creates for them, and they wonder why they always lose. The ex-Speaker of the House, former Speaker of the House, getting up, bragging about all the diversity hires he shoved into the House of Representatives. Well, now I guess we know exactly why that body still sucks. God, you know what? I'm getting fired up when I shouldn't be. It's a fun night. John, Jersey, go. Oh, I didn't hit the button. John, Jersey, go.
Oh, hey, Jesse, how are you? So I have a story from 1969. We're waiting for the moon landing. I'm with my mother in a grocery store at the Jersey Shore. And if you know, back in the 60s, they used to have these big barrels filled with bazooka bubble gums.
Oh.
And I was waiting for my mother to pay, and the bazookas were falling over the side. They were all over the sidewalk. So I decided to reach down and pick one up and put one in my mouth. We're walking home at the Jersey Shore, and my mother says, John, where'd you get that gum? I said, oh, it was on the sidewalk. She goes, I saw that wasn't on the sidewalk. You stole that. She marches me right back to the store, asks to see the manager, and has to I have to apologize to him for stealing a one-penny piece of bubble gum. And for the rest of my life, even now, I'm 61 years old, it was so traumatic that throughout my childhood and into my teens and all those years, I never stole anything because I was so afraid I'd have to meet that manager again.
That's a valuable lesson. You know, I have one not quite as bad because mine was more innocent than yours, John, but similar. You know how I hate thieves, right? John, I'm not yelling at you, but I hate thieves. I'm a really bad person, but thievery, I cannot stand it. I do not take anything that doesn't belong to me, and I hate when other people do. It's the most selfish thing in the world to me. I despise it. But I did steal something once. I don't know if anybody goes out to eat at Pizza Hut anymore. I understand it's talking to my friends in the restaurant industry, it's very much a DoorDash society now, a takeout thing. But when I was a kid, we didn't eat out a lot, as you know. But on occasion, if we had to leave town, we would eat out at a Pizza Hut. And Pizza Hut had a buffet. It was super cheap. You know, and for a pizza buffet when you're a kid is as good as eating gets. You know, hold on. I can have all the pizza I want? And of course, you're a kid. It only amounts to three slices. But when you have, it's amazing, right? So we go out to Pizza Hut. We eat at Pizza Hut. And Pizza Hut, we were never allowed to get dessert or anything like that. But Pizza Hut had those peppermint candies always for free. You could take one. You know the red and white ones, the red and white peppermint, the round things? They always had one you could take for free. And other stores and restaurants would have those. Oh, hey, at the dentist office, you just finished. Here's a peppermint, that kind of thing. Have you ever heard of the Lions Club? Lions Club are still around. It's a charity. They're still around, aren't they, Chris? Okay. The Lions Club, they used to do this thing. Maybe they still do it. Where they had packs of mints, Lions Club mints, packs of mints sitting by the front desk. Well, they would do this for charity. You had to buy them and it would help the Lions Club raise money for whatever charity cause they're doing at the time, right? I didn't know. We had finished up at Pizza Hut and I thought these mints were free just like the other mints were free. And it turns out they were not free at all. So... yeah, I got into the car, pull out my pack of mints. Yeah, my folks sent me right back inside. I had to put them back and explain myself. So I've been there, John. I've been not quite as bad as you, but I've been there. Let's talk about something else good before we get back to these and John Kerry being a genocidal monster.
Despite thousands of scientists accumulating hard data all their lives, and without a single piece of peer-reviewed documentation to the contrary, we are again witnessing another moment in which the persuasive force of evidence, and with it, Earth's future, hangs in the balance. All because some extremist political voices, holdout nations, and vastly vested interests have declared war on facts and science. Without facts or economics on their side, they flatly deny what is happening to our planet and what we must do to save it. They incite a movement against what they falsely label climate change fanaticism, as they conveniently forget that the dictionary definition of a cult is the dismissal of facts in devotion to a lie. And while they refuse to accept the facts behind increasingly obvious damages, they lash out at the truth tellers instead, and label indisputable evidence as hysteria. They compound the already difficult challenge of the climate crisis by promising to do more of exactly what created this crisis in the first place. So now, humanity is inexorably threatened by humanity itself.
Thus, giving John Kerry the moral permission to declare war on humanity. To save humanity, of course. All right. Let's talk about Tunnel to Towers. It's season of hope time. This is the most wonderful time of year at Tunnel to Towers. This is when the magic happens. This is when fallen first responder families receive a mortgage-free home. This is when catastrophically injured veterans, like Captain James Howard, a C5 quadriplegic, this is when they get a free smart home that will change the lives of their family and them for the rest of their lives. Special showers, special cupboards, special everything built for them. That's where your $11 a month goes. It goes to these warriors who've given up so much for us, so much for everyone. Help them. $11 a month is all Tunnel to Towers has ever asked for. Go to T2T.org. T2T.org. Be a part of the season of hope. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. You can still email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, will you take your top 10 communist talking points and how we should respond to them? Many of us are not as quick-witted and sharp as you are and would love to know how to respond when the communists bring up things like Trump, masks, the border, etc. Says I don't need to read the letters, say his name, so on and so forth. Don't look, you don't need points from me. You know these things. Don't sell yourself short. I don't have some unique level of wit or knowledge or anything like that. Don't sell yourself short. You're totally fine, more than equipped to take these people on. Liberal Aunt Peggy doesn't stand a chance. All we've been missing is the boldness to fight back. That's what we've been missing. That's it. We have that now. Oh, by the way, did you see this Senator Mullen out of Oklahoma? It's a little long. Abuse of this climate change genocidal monster. It was hilarious.
You want to end all plastic manufacturing?
I said the plastics industry must be stopped.
So does that mean end plastic manufacturing?
I mean, in my dream world, sure. But I think that...
I don't mean to be condescending here. I just point out, what's going to replace your glasses?
Glasses
around your face? They're made of plastic.
Maybe. I don't know what they're made out of.
I just point out some things here because I just want to be realistic.
I'm going to let him keep going here for a second because it actually gets even better. But remember, they're just robots. The communist is a robot. It's what he is. There's no depth of knowledge. And I don't know whether that's a chicken or egg thing, whether people who are really uncurious, they're not really thinkers, they naturally tend towards communism, or whether you become a communist and it makes you less of a thinker. I don't know which comes first. I genuinely do not. But this is why I tell you to have more confidence when you're arguing with liberal Aunt Peggy and be bolder. She's a mile wide and an inch deep. There's no depth there. There's no depth of knowledge. She hasn't thought any of these things through. She only knows what she's been told. This girl is speaking in front of the United States Senate. Imagine if you had to speak on any issue in front of the United States Senate. How much would you research? How much would you read? If you had to go talk about peanuts in front of the Senate, how much would you? You'd know a lot about peanuts, wouldn't you? This apparatchik knows nothing about the stances she has. That's liberal Aunt Peggy.
When we're having conversations, because when statements are made like this, I just want to open people's eyes and say, well, what? Okay, that's easy to say, but what's the solution? Your water bottle in front of you.
This one.
Yes. That plastic?
No.
The lid is. That's plastic.
Right. I would first be concerned about single-use plastics, and then we can talk about alternatives to this.
Your cell phone there, is it plastic?
The cases, but it's glass because I broke
the components inside of it.
Screen yesterday.
The components made out of it's not plastic? They are. The water that you filled that water bottle up with, where'd you fill that water bottle up out of?
A water filling station.
All right, and it was delivered by a drink station that was plastic?
I didn't check.
The edges are. The piping coming to it. Now, you have a couple choices with the piping. we could go back to using wood, but then you have to line it in chemical. Or we could go back and use lead, because we used to have water piping that was lead. That was harmful to us. We go back to galvanized, but galvanized rust and had discoloration. We go back to copper, but copper has to be mined, and everybody wants to stop mining in the U.S. So you use plastic to deliver piping that you fill that water bottle up with today. So we talk about any plastic manufacturing, and everybody in here cheers when you say that, but everybody here is depending on plastic as you set. So if you want to end it, then quit using it.
They're just robots. They walk up to the hive mind and they plug in and they get a software update with their stances and talking points. But they're just robots. That's all they are. All right, enough. I want to know about when you got in trouble in school. Not in school, as a child. The worst you ever got in trouble. Joe, Queens, go.
Before cell phones, before parents used NORAD to track their kids, we're going up to summer camp for 2 weeks. We were part of the great All-American Kids in America at the time. First day, rifle range, rowing, canoeing, swimming, rafting, even some baseball up there. Every other day, the first week, we're at the rifle range. One of the instructors was the hottest chicky poo you would ever see. When I went to that rifle range every other day, it was like getting hit in the head with a bounce.
He was taking too long to get there. See, this is the problem. Look, buddy, I enjoy our little dance back and forth about how you use a fake name. And then what is it? Steve from Manhattan? Is it Steve of Manhattan? And then you eventually tell some story that keeps everybody listening. And then you talk about Steve of Manhattan. I enjoy it. I genuinely do. But you have to understand the same rules apply to you to everyone else. You're getting too elaborate with the stories and you're taking too long to get there. So if you're going to do your Steve of Manhattan thing, fool me, right? I want you to fool me. I'm asking for it, but you can't take this long. All right. You can't take this long. No more. No more. All right. Steve, Denver, go. Did I just hang up on someone? I might have. Anyway, Steve, Denver, go.
No. All right, yeah, I'm here. Hey, Gastrodamus. When I was a senior in high school, Troy, Michigan, fall of 1986, my parents decided they were going to go out of town. I think my dad like went a trip for his job or something. So me and my friends decided we were going to have a party. And so I sabotaged one of the basement windows and snuck in and had this party. And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Weird Science.
Hold on, Steve. Pause for a second. What do you mean you sabotaged the window? Why'd you sabotage the window? What'd you do? What?
So I could gain entry to the house. I removed the locks from one of the windows.
Okay, go ahead.
Before my parents left. So I don't know if, like I said, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Weird Science, where the motorcycle, they had the party and the motorcycle mutants show up. I think they were at my party. The place got trashed. It got destroyed. there was still like... my parents had like a jacuzzi tub and there was like still bubbles in it and stuff from people being in that. Jewelry was stolen. It was awful. Needless to say, when my parents got back, my dad was bringing me into a house. And as soon as the garage door got low enough, he pretty much laid me out right there in the garage. And that was about it.
I'm sorry, Steve. I didn't have one that bad. I did something similar when my parents left town. The longtime listeners will remember this story. They left town, and I really didn't have a big party, I swear. It was just a few buddies, and we had some girls come over, and there was we were having beer. Kids, don't drink beer. There's really no need for you to drink beer, but I was a bad kid, and so I was drinking beer. And my buddies left, and it was really uneventful. There were no noise complaints. We were living in a condo at the time, so I had to be super conscious about that. It was all we had, right? So they left, and I thought everything was good, and I want to be clear. I meticulously, I thought I did anyway, looked through the house to make sure everything was clean. I was mopping floors, vacuuming, all the trash was gone. I was good to go. Fast forward to my parents getting back. My mom had a little room off of it that was where she would sew and do all kinds of stuff. Their sewing room. And she's sitting in there. We're all in the living room except for her. She's in the sewing room. She calls me, Jesse, come here. I walk in. I didn't think anything of it. This is a couple days after the party. She says, what's this? The door was open when I walked through it, right? And she reaches over and closes the door, closes me in the room with her. And there's a big empty case of beer sitting right behind the door. Oh, no. She's disappointed in me, all these other things. And then tells me, I'm not going to tell your father. And you're lucky. Thanks, Mom. Sorry. It won't happen again. That kind of thing. That next Saturday, I think it was the next day, if I remember right. But the next Saturday, my dad loved to wake me up early on the weekends when I could sleep in. He just took a special joy in that. And he was not kind about it either. Bursted in the room. Let's go, boy. The day's begun. Let's go. He bursts in my room, walks over to my curtains that I have closed. Let's go, boy. It's time. It's glow. And he rips the curtains open to let the sun start streaming in and wake me up. Right there on the windowsill, an empty beer can sits there. He's staring at it, picks it up. What's this? And then again, sorry, Dad, won't happen again. He tells me, I'm not going to tell your mother. How about that? Got out of that one. All right. We'll do a couple more of these, as many as I can get to, and then we'll get to some headlines, and then we're checking out of here. First, protect ourselves first, though. Our information. You know how you've had that conversation with your buddy, your spouse, about buying some new highlighters? You need some new highlighters. The kid needs highlighters for school. And then the next time you log into Facebook, there's an advertisement on your Facebook for highlighters. Do you know how that happens? It's not magic. They're listening when you talk. They're gathering your information, what you talk about, what you search for. They're constantly tracking you. Not just the government. Corporations are. Silent bags, S-L-N-T bags, they're a necessity now. Not something, well, if you feel like it, a necessity. It's a signal-blocking Faraday bag. When your laptop, phone, whatever it is, when you're not using it, it stays in the bag. SLNT.com/Jesse. That gets you 15% off. Protect your stuff. Protect your information. SLNT.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Yeah, this was Hunter Biden on a podcast.
They're trying to destroy a presidency. And so it's not about me. What they're trying to do is they're trying to kill me, knowing that it will be a pain greater than my father could be able to handle. And so therefore, destroying a presidency in that way.
$600,000 on hookers? It's amazing Hunter Biden's still alive with the drugs and the lifestyle. It's amazing. 53 years old. They should donate his body to science whenever he passes on. It is amazing. Some of these guys, man, if I have an extra beer, which, you know, I don't really drink much anymore. If I have an extra beer, I wake up the next day and I have a headache. Hunter Biden's been doing crack and prostitutes for 53 years and he's still going strong. I don't know. Maybe he takes an extra mental vitality stack from Jockers. I don't know. I don't know what it is. Anyway, what's the worst you ever got in trouble as a kid? Debbie, Oregon, go.
Hello, Jesse. Okay, I was probably about 5 or 6 years old. I thought I was being a great little girl by picking all of the flowers down the street and giving them to my mother. There was a woman who prided herself on keeping her yard very well decorated with all sorts of flowers.
Oh.
And I think I picked every last one of them.
Oh, oh, yeah. Gosh. Oof, that hurts. Mark, Long Island, go.
Oh, I'm guessing I was about 8-ish. I was in my parents' bedroom snooping, which I didn't have security clearance for. And I heard my mother and older sister, 3 years older, coming down the hallway. So I panicked and dove under her bed. She had one of those long bed spreads with the tassel things. But I was under there. They were trying on clothes or something, girl stuff. It was probably, in retrospect, 10, 12 minutes. It felt like hours.
Oh.
And I had to get out of there. I was like, oh, this is ridiculous. I don't know why. I just reached out from under there and grabbed my sister's ankle.
She let
out a scream that, to this day, with all of the slasher films I've seen, I have never heard duplicated. My mother grabbed my arm and pulled me out from under that bed. And it was a long time ago, but I don't know how, what she was doing. She had Playtex gloves on somehow. And that's the only time in my life I ever got beat. I mean, she was just, and to this day, my sister's not the same.
Oh, that kills me. That murders me. That reminds me. So have you ever seen the movie, I swear this is a political show. I'll get the headlines and stuff like that in a minute, but have you ever seen the movie Neverending Story? I'm not even going to ask Chris and Michael. I know the answer is no, because it wasn't made in 2020. It was, anyway, it's a great movie. I don't know that it would hold up. I haven't seen it in years. Whatever. There's a wolf. He's the bad guy. You can go look it up right now. Neverending Story wolf. Okay. You seeing him? Are you seeing him? Do you see what he looks like? I know it may not be scary now, but as a child, it was very scary. That wolf was very, very scary with the eyes and the fangs and everything else. So my wife has, as a child, decided that that wolf was hiding under her bed. And so she would run and she would jump into bed so the wolf wouldn't come out from underneath and get her. Well, she's a gymnast. She can jump from anywhere. I don't know. She would jump into bed. And now, just to mess with her for this day, to this day, I'll randomly think of it if she's walking to bed or something like that. I'll tell her, hey, better hurry. The wolf's under there. And she'll start screaming and jump into bed. It's the greatest thing ever. And then I get yelled at, and that's fun. And you know what else is fun? Saving kids from child traffickers. That's fun. I think it's fun to put bad people in prison. And I love the Acervo Project because that's what they do. And they educate. Remember, they will educate. Reach out to the Acervo Project if they're available. They educate. They'll speak at churches. They'll speak at schools. They'll educate kids. American kids do not understand how vulnerable they are online. Parents don't understand. How do these things happen? The average age of a trafficked child is 14. How's that possible? We need to get educated. If your child is online, your child is liable to come across a predator. TheAcervoProject.org. They find the predators, get them thrown in prison. They find the kids and rescue them. They ask for $14 a month. ASSERVO. TheAcervoProject.org. All right? All right. Brian, Idaho, go.
Hey, fellow junior college graduate. Thanks for representing us. High school, sophomore, junior year, went out with a bunch of buddies, had a few too many silver bullets, to the restroom and smelt the devil's lettuce, wasn't into that thing, came out. Somebody said that I was in there doing it, so I went to an all-Catholic school, so one of the brothers came and said, hey, breathe in my face. I knew I was toast at that time. Called my parents to come and get me. Dad shows up. My dad's very similar in like your father with his discipline. Wasn't very happy. So I decided, well, hey, I can run fast. So I jumped out of the car and took off and ran and hid from him and called my girlfriend. And luckily her parents were nice enough to let me stay the night.
What did your dad do when you finally got back? Mine would murder me.
I think I gave him enough time to cool off, and my mom talked to him. I honestly don't remember, but yeah.
That means it wasn't that bad. That means it was an effective strategy. Kids, do not run away from home if you're in trouble. I just want to be clear about that. Do not run away from home if you're in trouble, but timing is everything. No, listen, look, I try to teach my sons all the time. Read the temperature of the room, man. Read the temperature of the room. Like the other day, I was trying to make the kids some pancakes, and I tried to flip one, and it got caught in the pan, and it messed up, and the pancake kind of got torn. And whenever that happens, I don't control my temper very well. I don't know why that bothers me. And immediately, my sons just kind of disappeared from the kitchen and just gave me a couple minutes for everything to cool off. See? Temperature of the room.
And now...
here's a headline.
You know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Isn't it just time for women to run the planet? Will Ferrell tells Hollywood men are not doing good as leaders. It's so embarrassing listening to men these days. Ah, oh, save us, women. Ah, oh, we're so stupid. Women are saintly. Ugh, barf. Promise kept. Javier, whatever his name is, the new head of Argentina, cuts 19 Argentine government offices on the first day. Well, just sit back and think about the fact that Argentina won one election. And the one guy they got elected did more to reduce the size of his government than conservatives have done for the entirety of my 42 years on the planet. That's pretty sobering, isn't it? Crap, we're out of time. I'll see you tomorrow. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.